Genesis chapter 18, verses 20 to 32. Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin so grievous, that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people? If I find 45 there, God said, I will not destroy it." Once again, he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" And God said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" And God answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Then Abraham said, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" And God said, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there?" And God answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, and can be found on page 1042. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Just invite Helen now to come up and give her sermon on the persistence in prayer. We just pray, Lord, that you open our ears and eyes to hear her words that have been put on her mouth by God. In your precious name. Amen.
Julie. Thank you. It's lovely to be here this morning. So what comes to mind? I'll start again. What comes to mind when you hear the phrase persistence in prayer? Maybe it's praying constantly for something you really want. Maybe it's spending much time in prayer. Maybe it brings a feeling of guilt because you have prayed and when nothing happened you stopped. Maybe you feel it is for others who appear to be good at it. Or maybe it just makes you feel tired, because with everything else going on in life, it just seems like something else you have to add to your to-do list. Whatever your feelings, Jesus is clearly wanting to teach us something more. In our second reading, we see the disciples watching Jesus intently as he prays. And after waiting for him to finish, they ask, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then we are presented with Luke's version of what has become known as the Lord's Prayer, which most of us have been taught to recite ever since we were children, but we know that simply saying prayers is empty religion. Those of us who use the resources in Thy Kingdom Come this year will have been fed with excellent teaching on the Lord's Prayer. But once those 11 days finished on Pentecost Sunday, have we become more persistent in prayer as a result? The passage immediately follows with an example of what outrageous persistence looks like in the natural world. And then Jesus then tries to get the disciples to understand that this kind of approach in prayer does not offend God. As he says in verses 9 and 10, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." In our first reading, we have Abraham in conversation with God over the possible fate of Sodom and Gomorrah. We all know that conversation with God is in fact prayer. Here we see Abraham making intercession for the people of the city. No other 24-hour period in Abraham's life is described more fully than this one in chapter 18. What we have here is the intimate relationship that Abraham has developed with God. In the preceding verses, 17 to 18, God had begun the discourse by revealing to Abraham what he was about to do. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then after verses 20 and 21 in our reading today, when God's intentions have been revealed, Abraham appeals to the nature and sovereignty of the God he has come to know and love so much. In verse 25, he says to God, "Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" And he continues persistently in the verses that follow, like a child. It reminds me of my grandson when he asks a question and then goes, "Oh, what if, and what if, and what if, and what if, and what if?" And you could think that would be wearing God down, that he could get a bit annoyed. But he doesn't. Because of his close relationship with God, Abraham is able to approach God in persistent prayer with extreme reverence, as we see in those verses, humbly, we see in those verses, fervently and persistently. We often hear the phrase, "There's been a real answer to prayer." I am puzzled by what a real answer actually means. Does a real answer mean that we got what we wanted within our time frame before we became disillusioned or succumbed to disappointment? What if we don't get what we want? What do we say then? We all know that the answers to prayer can be instant, delayed, different, or denied. But all prayer is answered, and they are all real answers. There are many Bible verses which confirm this. Jeremiah 33 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Psalm 17:6 says, "I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my speech." Psalm 91 verses 14 and 15 says, "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Verse 14 said, "Because he loves me, says the Lord." There is an implication here regarding the closeness of our relationship with our loving God in relation to prayer. Persistence in prayer can often make us think only of petition or intercession, but we know that there is much more to persistence in prayer than that. L. Joseph Letendre, in his book When You Pray, says this. So what is prayer? At its most basic, prayer is spending time with God. Deliberately, explicitly, consciously spending time with God. St. John Vianney, a 19th century priest in rural France, noticed a farmer who would come into the church every morning and evening and just sit there with no Bible, no prayer book, no rosary. Finally, the saint asked the farmer what he was doing. "I look at him," the farmer replied, "and he looks at me, and we are happy." This is prayer. To pray is to come before God's face with thanksgiving, Psalms 94 and 95. It is to be still and know that God is the Lord, Psalms 45 and 46. Sometimes it is to be like Jacob, wrestling with an angel and refusing to let go until he blesses us, Genesis 32. And sometimes, frankly, it feels like futility, like echoing emptiness. On the pages of his book, Beginning to Pray, Metropolitan Anthony Bloom warns, at the very onset, there is then an important problem. The situation of one for whom God seems to be absent. Obviously, I'm not speaking of a real absence. God is never really absent, but the sense of absence which we have. We stand before God and we shout into an empty sky out of which there is no reply. We turn in all directions and he is not to be found. Prayer can be enduring this felt absence of God with faith, with hope, and with love. He says prayer, like any relationship, involves sacrifice, and prayer requires persistence. Jesus knew more than anyone that we are in a spiritual battle. We have an enemy whose desires to wear us down. An enemy who hates it when we talk to our Heavenly Father. An enemy who will do anything to cause a distraction and take us away from that intimate relationship that we so desperately need. We can see this in Jesus' prayer in John 17, where verses 15 to 17 say, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And he was most emphatic that his disciples, and therefore us, would ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Verse 13 in our second reading today says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We know that Jesus did not begin his ministry until he had been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We all desperately need the same supernatural help. But how often do we ask for it? There are many commentaries on verse 13 in this reading, but one suggestion is that Jesus is saying, pray for the blessings of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the love and joy and peace and power you need in your lives. The commentary continues, the most important part of prayer is not getting what we want, but becoming the people God wants us to be. God gives the best to those who leave the choice to him, trust him, submit to his will, and seek to live for his glory. It is said that Christians have the Spirit, but does the Spirit have the Christian? So persistence in prayer brings us time exposure with God, and it brings us under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The commentary continues. Are you being changed? Are you becoming a kinder person? More loving? Do you care more about others? Are you living a more holy life? Are you spending more time in the Word? Do you have the love of God in your heart? The outcome then of persistence in prayer under the influence of the Holy Spirit is a closer relationship with God, which brings about the fulfillment of God's will for his glory and always, always for our good. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we find prayer difficult because our minds sometimes warp the idea that prayer is spending time in your presence, talking with you reverently and humbly and expectantly. We know that this is only possible under the influence of your Holy Spirit. And so we ask now to be filled afresh with your Holy Spirit into all those areas where we've been striving and trying so hard and the busyness of life has worn us down. As we lay down all those things that are not part of your will, we ask that the Holy Spirit fills afresh all those areas within us and that we are able to sit quietly with you in your presence and know what it means to be persistent in prayer in that place of your loving fulfillment of what you have prepared in advance for each one of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.